You're listening to the Oklahoma Math Podcast.
Hi, everybody. This is Levi Patrick, and welcome to the OK Math Podcast. Today's episode is just a recording of a recent webinar that Robin Glinsman and myself did, sharing information about the new Oklahoma Academic Standards for Mathematics. In the episode, we'll talk a little bit about what happened in the last couple weeks with the standards. We'll also address questions about assessments, textbooks, and how to implement the standards. We hope that you enjoy the podcast, and also we want to make sure that you know that you can follow along with the presentation in the embedded PowerPoint provided at okmathteachers.com, and just search podcast when you get there. All right, without further ado, here we go.
So we'll go ahead and get started in a moment, but I want to just give you some kind of technical guidance first. We are using Google Presentations, so that means a couple things are going to be available to you. One, you can make your way through the entire presentation without our narration if you'd like. You can just use your arrow keys to go forward and backwards, but we'll let you know when we're moving from page to page. Also, the links are live in the presentation on your computer, so that means you can click on them and go right to wherever we're talking about. So, for example, we have a Padlet Robin has set up. The Padlet is a space where we're going to be asking for you guys to pose questions there while we're going through, and we'll try to answer those questions at the end of the call today. And also at the bottom left, when you hover down on the bottom left of your presentation, you can navigate through the different slides and jump to them. You can also hit the little gear and download it as a PowerPoint or a PDF for your kind of own records or possibly use in your district. So we're going to go ahead and get started here in a moment. Kind of the last technical issue for everybody is that we'll hear a few beeps as people are calling in. There's that little bell that happens, and we'll occasionally remind people to put their phones on mute in case we are getting feedback or background noise. So do put your phones on mute unless you are going to speak or ask a question, and we will have time for questions at the end of the call here at around 10:25.
Mine's working, Tammy.
Perfect. So we just appreciate everybody making sure their phone is on mute, and we'll go from there. I also want to let you know that this call is being recorded. That means that we'll make the audio available afterwards on our website on sde.ok.gov/mathematics, and we'll also make it available at okmathteachers.com. So keep that in mind just in case you have anything that you don't want to be shared with the entire public. You can text that to us or email that to us instead. With that in mind, we'll go ahead and kick off. And I'll, like I said before, we'll remind a few folks as we go along to make sure to mute their phones. So, hi, everybody. My name is Levi Patrick, and I'm so happy to be here with you all today. With me is Robin Glinsman.
Hi.
We really have accomplished a lot in the last few days and weeks, and we just want to start off by saying thank you to everybody out there who has been a part of this process, from the folks who were on the writing teams, to the folks who gave review, to the folks who just gave positive encouragement along the way. It's really meant a lot to us and to everybody who's been involved in the process. So we're going to move to slide two, and we want to make sure that everybody knows how to get a hold of us now and you can reach either one of us at our offices. We don't spend a lot of time in office, but please do call us if you have questions. You can also email us or you can tweet us, and both of our Twitter handles are provided there on slide two. I want to just give a quick introduction to the call today. For the agenda, we are going to make sure that there's hopefully some clarity on the status of the new standards. We're going to talk briefly about what is in the standards, and a lot of you have already seen them, so we'll make that part really short, but we want to make sure that for folks who are new to the standards that you see how they're laid out. We'll also be addressing some of the opportunities to think about assessments in the future and clarify some questions that we've been receiving about how assessments will be changing in Oklahoma. We'll discuss textbooks and curriculum resources, including the new crosswalks that have been worked on by our Central and Northeastern Math Consortia, and we'll wrap up with a vision for implementation. So we'll move to slide four, and I'll let Robin begin there. And as we keep on going, I'll just remind, as people are joining, make sure that your phone is on mute. Thank you.
So as you've heard, we have new math standards in the state of Oklahoma. It's been a little bit of a process, but as of Monday, March 28th, these standards became adopted. There were two separate joint resolutions that were passed in the individual houses. HJR 1070 came out of the House, and SJR 75 came out of the Senate. You can click on the links there and see the wording. Neither one of those resolutions was able to get passed in the opposite House. So House Bill 3399, which got us started on this process 2 years ago, had a clause in there that said after 30 legislative days, if no action is taken by both houses to pass the same resolution through both and to the governor, that our standards will become official. So that timeline was on Monday. Now they are ready to go. So we have the website there that you can click on and download the latest copy of the standards. Also, everything that we have done throughout this adoption process is on that page. So you'll see the PowerPoints we gave to the legislature, all the letters of support that have come from you and your districts and from others around. And so that is all there. Now that the standards are official, you can see a glimpse of what they look like. So on slide 5, what we have is the table of contents. And this will help you navigate through the standards as you're reading them. There's a great introduction written by them. Underneath there, you'll see each grade level listed individually. So what we have in our standards is each grade level has their own specific set of pages with their own standards and objectives. We also have a glossary at the end as Appendix A, which would cover all of the words covered within our standards and give concise definitions for them. What you'll also see in Appendix B is a vertical alignment. This is a brand new piece that we are so proud of with these new standards that we've never really had before. So you'll see that and we'll have a glimpse of it later. On slide 6, this is one of the pivotal points that made these standards different than others. These are the math actions and processes. And what these are is 7 ideas that truly envelop what mathematics is. These are a pre-K through Algebra 2. They cover every grade level and they span. And this is what true mathematics looks like when these 7 things come together and taught through the objectives. This is where true mathematics happens. So on slide 6, you can see the first 4 really well, and on slide 7, the bottom 3 come into view.
And we just want to make a special point here that our writing team, when developing the standards, received a whole lot of feedback from folks, positive feedback saying, we want mathematics to be not just about the checklist of the standards, but to be about something that is bigger and more meaningful. So these math actions and processes, when you're reading through the standards document, we would recommend that you take the right amount of time to actually read all the words. It's so easy to skip over all of the introductory text in the standards. But we introduce these standards and we talk about the holistic nature of mathematics. We talk about how important it is to balance both conceptual understanding and accurate and appropriate procedural fluency, that understanding is as important as being able to crunch the numbers and do arithmetic. A lot of these, the language here probably sounds familiar. That's because we actually utilized the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics processes from their 2000 standards, and we used the 2001 Adding It Up report from the National Research Council, which identified 5 mathematical proficiencies. So we combined these ideas together to create these mathematics actions and processes, and we're really proud of them. And we think that they're so important, in fact, that we have made sure that on every single grade level, we highlight them again.
And you'll see exactly what Levi was alluding to there on slide number 8. This is a glimpse of what a grade level view would look like. And at the top, you will see these 7 mathematical actions and processes lined up for there. The layout you'll also see in this page is that on the left side, you will see what we're calling the standards. And this page represents 2 standards in the 4th grade. And on the right side, you'll see what are called objectives. And each of these objectives align with a specific standard. What we are doing here is listing out the standards on the left side that get a holistic view of what should happen, and that's broken down by the objectives. What you will also notice is right underneath the mathematical actions and processes is a gray band. This is number and operations. These are the strands. Throughout every grade level, we have four strands that unify all of the grade levels together. And then when Algebra 2 comes along, you pick up function.
Actually, Algebra 1.
Algebra 1.
We get functions. So let's look at slide 9 just to give you the other glimpse of how the standards are laid out. We don't want it to be an accident that a teacher is out there and thinking about what's coming before their grade level and what's coming after their grade level. In a lot of our large districts, there's a lot of emphasis on vertical alignment, but it's very time consuming and it takes a lot of district leadership to make that happen a lot of times. And we know that teachers are very busy, and we wanted to ensure, the writing team at least wanted to ensure, that the work was done on this side of things to make sure that every teacher in the state of Oklahoma had access to a very clear vision for what's happening in those math ideas. So here on slide 9, you'll see all through elementary through fourth grade, we organize all of the content standards, not just by strand, as Robin was talking about, with number and operations, algebraic reasoning and algebra, geometry and measurement, data and probability, but we also organize them by topics. So you can actually see how this is growing over time. One of the interesting things about that is that we also have in the vertical alignment in Appendix B, you'll find spaces where certain topics aren't addressed, and we make sure that that's clear. So even though a teacher may not be addressing a topic, let's say fractions, they can tell that next year fractions will be introduced, so they can be thinking about how to build up their students for success.
So one of the things that's my most favorite part about this slide 9 is how you see things grow over time, and you truly see the change in verbs, and you see that foundations are being laid in the lower elementary grades and built upon. And so it was no accident how things are placed within objectives, and those were purposely placed so that they could be bundled together, and so that objectives across different strands can be used to cover multiple standards within a lesson.
So we'll just add one more thing about the vertical alignment. When you get to middle school, it is not organized by topic, but you are able to see 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade, and pre-algebra. And we have renamed 8th grade to pre-algebra. That does represent an interesting shift that we will talk about at a later date, kind of in more depth. But because so many important topics are addressed in 8th grade, some of which used to be in Algebra 1, we really wanted to make sure that it was clear that this would be a very difficult course to skip, that students who are wanting to make their way to Algebra 1 early need to make sure that they are finding success in the pre-algebra skills, that is not something that they should or could skip. So we'll talk a lot more about that, but we are really happy with the way that our middle school progression is laid out. We think it represents an increase in rigor. And as we are thinking about our scores for the National Assessment on Education Progress, and we're thinking about overall our student achievement in middle school, we really believed that some of the repetitive nature of our middle school standards and prior versions of our past standards was potentially causing some of those issues. And we really find that we have a much cleaner progression of content in middle school. We also have two sets of vertical alignment guides for high school. One of them is an algebraic vertical alignment guide, so that will show you how a student progresses from pre-algebra to Algebra 1 to Algebra 2. And then we have a geometry vertical progression, which includes both 7th grade, pre-algebra, and geometry. So we wanted to make sure that teachers in those high school levels could see all the way back down to the student experience in middle school. That is not to say that we are recommending that a student would go from Algebra 1 right to Algebra 2, or, for example, a student would go from 7th grade to pre-algebra to geometry. The expectation is that Algebra 1 should serve as a prerequisite for both geometry and Algebra 2, and while it's not an official recommendation, it appears to make the most sense to have geometry still in between Algebra 1 and Algebra 2. Of course, that is still left up to the local district to make those decisions. We just want to make sure that as those decisions are made, that they are based in research and evidence. So we want to kind of move through a few other big ideas that we get a lot of questions about. We want to talk about the assessments. We we are sharing today what we know to be true, and we know that things change all the time, and we're right in the middle of testing windows. So here's what we believe will be happening in the future. Next school year, 2016-2017, we will have new OAS, the new Oklahoma Academic Standards for Mathematics, field test items. So these aligned items to the new standards will not be operational next school year. Then in 2017-2018, the new aligned items to our new standards will be operational in 2017-2018. Now, there are some various pieces of legislation that could influence the way that our assessments are designed or structured or delivered. But right now, the way that things sit today, this is what we know. We also want to make it clear that a system of assessments does not just rely on the state of Oklahoma's end of instruction assessments or the OCCT, but also incorporates high quality classroom and district assessments. And we want to make it clear that we are recommending that districts and classrooms emphasize assessment on the mathematical actions and processes as we move forward. That will certainly be the emphasis for the state of Oklahoma as we move forward. And we think that even beginning next year, schools can incorporate that into their local assessments. Regarding the system of assessments, we also want to address the formative assessment, the use of formative assessment. We have on slide 11 guidance from the National Council of Teachers of Mathematics, Principles to Actions, Effective Teaching Practices, where they call for effective teaching to use evidence of student thinking and assess progress toward mathematical understanding. And for that to allow for the adjustment of instruction continually to support and extend learning. We want to ensure that we engage in rich conversations over the next year and throughout the course of these standards about what does it look like to elicit and use evidence of student thinking in this way. What that requires, I think, is a lot of consideration about how students progress through a grade level, and what misconceptions they have and how we can make those misconceptions known and how we can explicitly address those misconceptions. We will be supporting that effort. We have a federally funded grant that was awarded to Western Heights Public Schools in conjunction with Northeastern State University, and they will be developing some guidance over the next 2 years on these types of formative assessments.
One of the other questions that we get all the time is about textbooks. And just to give you guys a little information of what we do know at this point is that next year will be the year that districts will be previewing new textbook materials for the mathematics. Bids open actually tomorrow, and so companies will start tomorrow bidding what they have available to be aligned to the new Oklahoma Academic Standards for Mathematics. They have about a month and a half, and then in June, they will roll out their products for the textbook committee. Now, we understand fully about the budget crisis and the grim outlook this is given on textbooks, and so many places won't be using new textbooks or purchasing them, but that is where we are next year in the state through this timeline. We have provided the link there in case you have any questions. Once the official list has been chosen by the textbook adoption, the state committee, the list will go on there of all the publishers that are available to be chosen from and the timelines and the caravans that will be going out across the state.
And we just want to reiterate that that is a committee that is appointed by the governor, and has, while the State Department of Education participates in a kind of a supportive role, it is not our committee, so you can go to oktextbooks.ok.gov, and you can find more information there and contact information there. So in consideration of some of the issues with the budget, we also have two really fun and exciting projects that we're working on that we want to make sure that you guys know about, that they're coming. So we have the Curriculum Frameworks Project, which will work with teachers across Oklahoma to create exemplars, to capture the big ideas of the content areas, to address the misconceptions, and provide resources and all sorts of other support systems for teachers. You can see a great example of what we're attempting to accomplish here in Oklahoma by visiting the link provided on slide 13 at scimathmn.org. And that MN there is, stands for Minnesota. And a lot of folks know that we utilize Minnesota's successful mathematics standards as a real core piece of material for the development of our new standards. So you'll find a lot of resources that you can use from that website right now that align to our new standards. We'll also be working with what we're calling the Mathematics Task Force, and this is a really fun and exciting project that will help help teachers around the state create excellent and worthwhile tasks that promote reasoning and problem solving. And that project will be structured in a way that supports and accelerates professional learning communities in various school sites. So that's an exciting project. If you're interested in either one of those projects, please let us know. We'll be recruiting a whole lot of folks from around the state. In fact, approximately 40 teachers around the state will be involved in the Curriculum Frameworks Project, and we'll be working with hopefully around 100 school districts to really make the Mathematics Task Force work. So let us know if that is of interest to you. Back to the presentation on slide 14, we're really excited today to kind of show off some of the work that has been developed in collaboration with Think Through Math and the Oklahoma Central and Northeastern Mathematics Consortia. They have worked to develop what we're calling crosswalks. The crosswalks are not necessarily a one-to-one matching of the standards, so you're not seeing every past standard listed here. But what they decided to do is provide both the list of the current, the new math standards on the left to identify if they are related, expanded, or new when compared to past. And in the notes section, you'll see some of those connections that have been made to the old past standards or comments about how this these standards or objectives reflect a change from where we have been currently or previously in that grade level. That actual final draft we anticipate will be released, the final version of this will be released next week for all grade levels. So we just want to reiterate our thanks and appreciation for the great work of the consortia members from Central and Northeastern Oklahoma. And by the way, make a plug, if you are not in Central or Northeastern Oklahoma and you're wondering, why don't we have a consortium in our area? We have good news for you. We can help you make one. So if you have an interest in that and you want to get a group of teachers together working to improve your practice in your area, let us know and we will help you get that started.
What my favorite part about the crosswalks, if you'll notice there on slide 14 with objective 4 and 1-1, they have done the work to show you that that standard, that objective is in fourth grade in the new OAS, but it was also in fourth and third grade in the previous PATH document. So they have made those correlations because there have been some standards that have changed grade levels and moved around. And so they have done that work for you to show you that easy progression. This is especially helpful for teachers who are new, teachers who have changed grade levels because of shifts within staff, and also those teachers who are emergency certified, who may not have the background in deep standard understanding. And so this will really help them as we move towards transitioning next year.
So I think one other thing that we should point out is that some standards in the new standards are related to past objectives that were from a higher grade level. So they've moved down a year, if not 2 years in some cases. So we will be supporting folks in targeting these standards that move down, because as schools are deciding if they are going to move to past let me say it this way, are they going to keep past next school year or will they move fully to the new standards? As schools are deciding that, they have to realize that any standard that has moved down a grade has to be taught next year. The risk is that if it is not taught next year, it may never get taught to those students. So even for a school that says we don't want to make that transition because we're not sure about the assessment or the timeline or any number of issues, we believe there is a non-negotiable here. If there's a standard that has moved down a grade level or more, it has to be addressed no matter what. So that information is provided in these crosswalks. I think that makes it very useful for the classroom teacher to make sure that they know what are their priorities to for adding content to their grade level if that's the case. Okay, we want to just wrap up with pointing you guys to a really fun and, well, I don't know how fun and exciting it is. For us, it's fun and exciting. We have a nice resource that will be coming out very soon that's related to an effort that we've called PD on Your Plan. PD on Your Plan is meant to be basically very, very short modules that you could do by yourself or with a team of teachers at your school in your plan period. So these would be approximately 15 to 20 and at most 30-minute modules, and they would be structured in a way that allow you to interact in conversation with your colleagues. So we are developing a short course that is called Implications for Grade Level Expectations. We have four modules that Robin and I are currently working on, and we'll be soliciting feedback on improving those. Module one, Casting a Vision for All Students, will be available tomorrow, April 1st. And module two, three, and four, we expect to be out within the next week to 2 weeks. And we're really excited about those. We'll continue developing short courses that will help you investigate your practice, investigate the new standards, and as we work to implement these standards across the state, we hope that we can all grow together. So I think that covers the majority of our presentation. On slide 16, we just wanted to reiterate our contact information if you wanted to get a hold of us. And at this point, we have a couple questions that have been posed on our Padlet, and we will take questions from callers. So one of the questions was, is there any more information on the idea of asking for a waiver on testing next year? And so Robin and I have not heard about that yet. So we know that the waiver was requested, and I believe we have a meeting this afternoon about that. So we don't know what progress has been made, but we are actively pursuing a waiver that would allow for 1 year period where the assessments that we would give would not be related to accountability measures. I do not know a lot about that, so we probably can't say much about it, but we will be learning more about it today, and we will keep everybody posted as soon as we have information. The question about where can we find the gap pages in the format on the slide. So I think the question is related to the crosswalks on slide 14. We will make those available through both the State Department of Ed website, okmathteachers.com, and the OK Math Facebook group. Like I said, or I meant to say at least, I believe these will be available next week. Yeah. They are very close to being done. We are just doing the formatting and one last proofread on the alignment. Let's see, we have a couple other questions. A beautiful question about assessments and about what an assessment specifically related to the math actions and processes would look like. So right now we don't have an example of that. As you guys likely know, we've been in the midst of the standards adoption process for quite some time. And so we have not yet been able to really explore that to the fullest extent, but we assure you that we will be exploring it. We are also asking for teachers who are having ideas about that to share those ideas with us. We want to make sure that we are investigating that and making sure that we are meeting the vision of the math standards and actions and processes as well as we can. What is the question about modules?
Where will they be located? Those are the modules that are being created that were talked about in the short course.
The short courses.
Yes.
So right now our strategy for the PD on Your Plan modules is that those will all be developed and available through Google Docs. So they will just be links, and it'll be a real simple kind of structure in Google Docs. If we have a presentation or something like that, we'll make sure that it's available in Google Slides. Eventually, we'll formalize it and make it available on a new website that we have developed. But right now, it'll be Google Docs, and we'll share that out again in our standard delivery method. So our listserv, Facebook, and State Department of Ed website, okmathteachers.com. There's a really tough question about are we able to do a crosswalk with Common Core? So we definitely see the value in that. So a lot of teachers have put a lot of time into Common Core, and while there are certainly some very political issues related to Common Core. We know that in Common Core they teach kids how to multiply, and we teach kids how to multiply, and we want to make sure that teachers have access to the very best resources that help kids learn how to multiply. So there have been some conversations about that alignment. I think that it is unlikely that the State Department will necessarily provide that, but I think that we could probably support the development of that.
Given that Common Core is a very hot topic around the state, and these new standards have distanced themselves that they are not Common Core. They were written by Oklahomans for Oklahomans. This will be something that cannot be produced out of our office.
Yeah. But it's definitely a good idea. Oh, there's a really great question now about unskippable courses. So actually, this is another thing. We're considering providing a lot more of like a white paper bit of guidance on what it looks like to accelerate students in middle school course sequence. Some really important research has come out talking about some of the issues related to that and how we can be very cautious about that work. So I think that if you look at sixth grade, seventh grade, and eighth grade, or pre-algebra and the new standards, I think anybody who's taught in middle school would say that these courses look more difficult than they had in the past. Middle school altogether became a more difficult sequence. What that means is that previously we were able to skip, you know, groups of kids entirely over a sixth grade or a seventh grade course because we knew we could make that up with those kids. But now there's a lot of important information that they would really miss. So the likely recommendation would be that courses are compressed rather than skipped, and that there would be a process in place at a district level to make sure that the students have mastered those competencies before they move on. And that's what we want to ensure happens. So while we can't say don't do it, what we can say is this process needs to be addressed. You need to be able to identify and ensure that those students are mastering those competencies before they move on.
That's it.
Okay, we are happy to take questions on Padlet or here if you want to unmute your phone. But that concludes our webinar. We appreciate everybody's, or our phone call or whatever you call this, our presentation. We appreciate everybody who's attended and asked questions, and we hope that this has been helpful. We'll try to keep you guys up to date as well as we possibly can, and don't at all shy away from asking us questions if you have them. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much for coming. If there's anything we can do, you let us know.
Yep. So we'll stay around for questions if you have them, but otherwise, have a great day.
You're listening to the Oklahoma Math Podcast.